Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and even some of the entrepreneurs that I know check out the show. Appreciate all of you. You've made it to the right place. If you are into getting personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. As always, to take you on that journey, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, into spreading special stuff. Also, into entrepreneur stuff, into leadership stuff, on-air stuff, community stuff, and founder of Underdog Stuff. And always trying to figure out how we keep fighting for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world. As always, there's a couple ways to interact with the show today. You can always call in to the radio station, WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Shout out to New York City and shout out to all the underdogs in Harlem. Also, I get it. Some folks like to watch. So we give the people what they want. And if you go over to Facebook, Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, that's GregoryNeesmith. You'll find the Facebook live stream of today's show. And we do this every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And on there, you can comment and watch along with the show. Also, a special shout out to someone who just commented on the Facebook Live, a special someone, a special underdog, and that's Asha Davis. She will join the show in the second hour with some news about what's going on in her world. And also, we're going to talk about one of today's topics, too. I'll give you a little preview of what we're going to get into today. I haven't quite landed on the specific title of today's episode, but I'll have one by the time the podcast episode comes out tomorrow. But I think today's episode, taxes, black women, and black thought. Taxes, black women, and black thought. Today's episode. And for those who might be slightly confused, thinking that and knowing that the host, me, is black, and that hopefully every week there's always black thought happening, I'm talking about Black Thought the rapper. Shout out to my hometown of Philadelphia and to the Roots. Something happened with Black Thought this week that I want to get into later in the show when we talk a little culture and hip hop culture. With that, though, as we ease into today's episode, as always, I wake up in the morning and I, on Sundays, do my meditation, try to make sure I eat some food. And like a lot of you, I go reach for my phone. I start scrolling my timeline, social media, news feed, see what's going on in the world. What maybe I missed from Saturday night into Sunday morning. And a couple things caught my attention when I woke up this morning. So as a lot of you know, I'm on the journey of an underdog, especially related to a media journey. Creating a TV show, creating a radio show, starting to write some articles, and there's some people I looked up to as I thought about this dream, and then now as I'm actually in it. And one of my inspirations was Arsenio Hall. For those who remember the Dog Pound and Arsenio, who took late night TV by storm as a brother, and had Johnny Carson and all of them at least somewhat rethinking how they did things, because he came through and changed the game. He brought a talent level, an intellect, a soul, a presence that wasn't at that point seen in late night talk. And so one of the things I aspire to when it comes to talking about the news and the culture, when it talks about how we get personal and things like that, I want to bring some of that spirit of how Arsenio changed the game. I want to change the game in terms of how we talk about and relate to what's going on in the news and culture. Another one of my inspirations, as I thought about this dream of getting into media stuff, is Tavis Smiley. And one of the things I had admired about Tavis is that he both did hard news, politics. He would interview folks in the entertainment space. And so what I appreciated was his range as an interviewer, viewer, and as a commentator. He also did some stuff in the community. I believe he had something called like the Ten Commandments. He used to hold a yearly forum and things like that. So doing stuff in the community, doing stuff on air. And then I must say, I got a little turned off when him and Cornel West seemed like they made a career of going after Obama from 2008 to 2016. And so I started to lose a little bit of my admiration for Tavis. Still got love for Arsenio, though. And then I'm scrolling my newsfeed this morning, and I see that Tavis is going to be on Good Morning America tomorrow to plead his case. And if you're wondering about what case he's going to plead, if you haven't heard by now, as more and more women break their silence, tell their stories about the sexual misconduct of oftentimes men that they work with, as they start to break their silence, we've seen dude after dude after dude resigning, losing their jobs, and rightfully so. And so there's been allegations against Tavis, and he lost his position at or show at PBS and probably any other media stuff that he's been involved in. So that caught my attention. And, you know, I'll probably check out Good Morning America, see what he has to say, as he says he's going to defend himself. But it looks like he's been credibly alleged of sexual misconduct, like Charlie Rose, like a bunch of other folks in the media business and across all industries. And so we'll keep an eye out for that. Let me know what you think. Tavis gone, rightfully so. I've heard a lot of people saying, what about due process? What about innocent until proven guilty? I hear you. But I will say, though, I don't get the sense, and I know I'm hearing a lot of people say that maybe this is going too far. Are people rushing to judgment? I will say, so far, I haven't seen at least anyone in the news that is of a certain amount of fame or prominence, whether it's politics, whether it's finance, whether it's other industries. I haven't seen anybody yet be fired or resign because they said a compliment to someone or asked someone out on a date or something like that. So, you know, I want folks to not get too caught up in the narrative about this stuff is going too far, because so far I haven't seen the slippery slope. I haven't seen anyone be accused of something that we would consider minor or accused of something where it's only been one incident. A lot of times there's been multiple allegations, and seemingly the folks who've been called out have stepped aside and haven't really fought back too much, with the exception, obviously, of Roy Moore and Donald Trump. We'll get into those guys later. But anyway, that caught my attention. Let me know if you're going to tune in to Good Morning America to see what Tavis has to say. Are you already boy bye to Tavis? Also, scrolling through my timeline this morning, I saw this headline. Teen suicides rise with smartphone social media use. What? I mean, if that headline doesn't catch your attention, I'm not sure what will, especially for the underdogs out there who are parents. It's been reported that teenage suicide rates in the United States rose between 2010 and 2015 after almost 20 years of decline, according to data from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. And supposedly they're saying that these thoughts of suicide and actual acts of suicide by our youth between the ages of 10 to 24, that it may be because of the impact that social media is having on our youth as one of the main drivers as to why these suicide rates or suicidal thoughts are up. I mean, something we'll talk about in future shows, but you know, let me know. Are you worried about social media use by your kids if you have kids? Are you worried about your own social media use? Even if you're not 10 to 24 year old, you're older than that. it sounds like, at a quick click on one of the stories, I saw that it said it's been well documented that many tech giants, including Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, maintain strict controls over their children's technology use because they kind of knew about some of the harmful effects of it. What? You mean to tell me they've been on the Biggie plan, never get high on my own supply? Or maybe it reminds me of the story of cigarettes, right? Supposedly the cigarette makers knew that it could be potentially harmful to all of us, but they launched cigarettes anyway, and we kind of know the story now. Now all we get is a big warning on the back of cigarettes and some high sales tax, but still legal. Net neutrality, speaking of digital stuff, was in the news. I got a story about, talk about getting personal with the news and culture. It's not going to happen today, but I do have a story about net neutrality, my use of the internet, especially in my days of watching a lot of high-speed adult internet porn, and how maybe net neutrality, in some cases, might be good for us to not get as much access to some of the things we get access to now. But I'll talk about that another day. But seriously, though, suicide rates up, people wondering about net neutrality. Last week, I talked about my new cell plan, how I'm going to cut, evict, leave, and live a little differently when it comes to how I interact with my cell phone. If you want to check that out, you can go to iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, search The Gregory Neesmith Show, and episode 51.3, you'll hear me talk about my new cell plan and how I want to change my relationship with my cell phone. And I would say to all of you underdogs out there, given some of this news that I just saw this morning and last week's episode, we might all want to reconsider our relationships with our cell phones, with the internet, with social media. But that's just some of my opening thoughts, just things I saw on my way here to the show. But after this break, we're going to get into the meat of the show. Today's episode, taxes, black women, and black thought. I've been thinking, you know, this whole idea, if you can't beat them, join them. And I'll share what I mean by that when we talk about taxes. Also, I want to talk today about scaling, especially for those who are in the business world. I know a lot of underdogs listen to this show who are entrepreneurs. I want to talk about scaling and relate it back to politics, which is, what is scaling and can we scale what happened in Alabama? Also, the Million Man March and Omarosa. I'll explain later in the show. And then, of course, Black Thought and the show talking about, did I get my top 10 rappers of all time wrong? Start getting your list ready, because near the end of the second hour before the show ends, I'm going to share my top 10 list of all time rappers, and I want to hear yours. And we'll have a special underdog in the second hour, Asha Davis, someone all of you know very well if you've been following the journey of the Gregory Neesmith Show. She will be calling in and join us to talk about Omarosa and to talk about what she's up to and planning for 2018. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into the meat of the show, taxes, black women, and black thought. More underdog stuff after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs and to my people. You made it to the right place if you love to get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. Today's episode, taxes, black women, and black thought. I'll explain. Don't worry. I'll explain. With that, if you want to join the conversation, you can call in at area code 212-650-6903. And if you like to watch and comment, you can do that at Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. Shout out to Asha Davis, who's in the Facebook Live right now, and who'll be actually on the show in the second hour, calling in to talk about some stuff in the news and the culture, and also getting personal too. And shout out to those who were on the first Facebook live stream. There's now part two up. With that, let's get into it. If you can't beat them, join them. Now, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when there's stress, when things don't seem to be going the way I want them to go, I have a certain reaction. I know a lot of people end up battling. They fight. They argue. That's one thing. For me, though, oftentimes I actually end up doing a little bit of a retreat, going into a bit of a shell, going into a cave, so to speak. I can get apathetic about stuff. And I know, at least in politics, there's a lot of people who end up, when they feel stressed or things aren't going well, they opt out. They sit out. And I can tell because in the last presidential election back in 2016, a lot of folks didn't like Hillary. A lot of folks didn't like Donald. And so I believe over 100 million eligible voters were like, nah, bro, I'm sitting this one out. Not saying that I agree with it, but I get it. Because there's been times when I've been stressed, dismayed, and I've opted out too. But sometimes, if you can't beat them, sometimes the best thing to do as an underdog is join them. Like, sports, for example. LeBron James created a super team when he left Cleveland to go to Miami. A lot of NBA players were mad. And then eventually they realize, well, maybe I'll just start my own super team too. Shout out to Kevin Durant. If he couldn't beat him, join him. Take inspiration by what someone else did that got you all mad. And you decided to do something similar. I've been hearing that a lot of folks are signing up to run for office, or at least exploring the idea of running for local or state offices, which again is an example of probably a lot of people being upset, disgusted by the choices they have. And so they're like, if I can't beat them, I'm going to join them. I'm going to just go be a politician if I don't like the politician. Well, I think there may be an opportunity for that even inside of this thing called the latest tax cut and jobs bill. At least that's what it's been called. So if you haven't heard by now, we all went into the weekend getting ready for TGIF, probably going to some holiday parties, maybe doing some Christmas shopping if you celebrate Christmas. Trying to figure out what your Saturday plans are, when you're going to the gym, Saturday brunch, all that good stuff, what you're going to wear to church on Sunday. And when Friday came, a tax bill got published. The House of Representatives and the Senate, and I shouldn't say the House of Representatives and the Senate because that would make it seem as if it was all the folks in the House and the Senate, but I should say the Republicans in the House and the Senate reached tentative agreement on a bill that they want to take one final vote on that will potentially go to the President of the United States and then become law as our new tax system and tax rates. And so I was curious. I looked into it and I said, you know, what's in this thing? Because I've been hearing about it for weeks. And it potentially has me saddened, disgusted, wanting to be apathetic, and wanted to just check out. And so I looked into it. I said, well, let me see what's in this final bill. Maybe it's not as bad as I've been hearing about. So I found out it contains some tax cuts and some expanded family credits for individual households. Okay, that sounds good. Sounds reasonable. So far, so good. So I kept reading. But I read also it doesn't contain a lot of the things it promised, like simplicity and fairness, two very important things. It doesn't make the tax code any simpler. It still contains 7 tax brackets instead of the 3 that the Republicans promised us. Takes away the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, mandate to purchase health insurance, which means there's going to be a lot more people uninsured, which then also means higher rates for those who are paying for insurance. But I did find out it does include things that are great for corporations. Gives huge tax cuts to corporations. Lots of giveaways to Republicans' favorite industries and special interest groups and lobbyists. So lots of tax rate breaks for the big corporations and also for those who make a lot of money. Because they're repealing something called the estate tax, too. So at this point, it's Friday night into Saturday morning. I'm not feeling too good. I'm definitely not feeling the if you can't beat them, join them spirit just yet. But I am feeling the piss spirit. And so then I went scouring the YouTube and the internet to see what some of the Republicans and Democrats are saying. And here's Donald Trump telling us, the American people, telling us underdogs and everybody else, what we should love about this bill.
This really will mostly benefit the middle class and jobs. Companies are coming in, they're pouring into the country, they've already started, and this will be great for jobs. It'll be fantastic for the middle-income people and for jobs. It'll also benefit lots of other things. I mean, we're looking to, if you look at the whole thing, everybody's going to benefit. But I think the greatest benefit is going to be for jobs and for the middle class, middle income. Well, this is going to bring money in. As an example, we think $4 trillion will come flowing back into the country. That's money that's overseas that's stuck there for years and years. It was $2.5 trillion, then it was $3.5. It's probably over $4 trillion. This is money that's been stuck there for years, and it's going to come pouring back into the country. So that'll be one.
Well, now, if you wonder why politicians get a bad name for being slippery, can't trust them, it's because of sound bites and talking points like that. Telling us that this bill is great for us who are in the middle class or those who are aspiring to get there. And yet I just told you, and it's all in plain English. Forget about whether you're on the left or on the right. If you just read down the middle, it helps corporations. And it helps folks who make a lot of money. And so that's what Donald Trump and some of the Republicans are saying. And then there's Bernie, speaking up for the people and chiming in with how he thinks the system's rigged for millionaires and billionaires. I wonder what would have happened if Bernie would have gotten a fair shot from the DNC and really been able to compete on equal footing with Hillary Clinton. Maybe he might be president right now and we wouldn't even be going through this. But here's Bernie giving his thoughts on the tax bill.
And jobs. Companies are coming in there.
What this legislation is about is fulfilling the promises, Republican promises made to wealthy campaign contributors. There is a reason why the billionaire class provides hundreds of millions of dollars in campaign contributions to Republicans. And now is payback time. What this legislation is about, Jake, is giving 50% of the tax benefits to the top 1%. And at the end of 10 years in the House bill, forcing almost 50% of the middle class to actually pay more in taxes. What this legislation is about, absolutely insanely, is repealing the estate tax, a $269 billion tax break, not for the top 1%, but for the top 0.2%, a handful of the wealthiest families in this country, like the Walton family and the Koch.
Senator Sanders, Doug Jones's win.
And that was Bernie talking about the tax bill. I tend to believe Bernie a little more than I believe Trump. Not because I'm a Republican or a Democrat or independent, just because I read the bill. And I encourage you underdogs out there, don't just listen to the news. Click on an article or two about the stuff that's going on. You oftentimes get a better perspective than a soundbite of a second or two on the news. So, now what? Tax bill seems like it's getting closer to being final. It looks like this upcoming week that President Trump, the Senate, and House Republicans are going to attempt to give us a gift that I think most of us don't want, and that is to actually pass the bill and enact it into law by time we get to the new year. And for whatever reason, this is the gift that Republicans want to give us. With that, we're going to take a quick break, because then I want to talk about my original premise, which was things happen. I get upset. Some people argue and fight, lash out. Some people just go into their caves. They get off the court. They stop participating, become apathetic. I know a lot of folks are that way with politics, because I know a lot of people don't even come out and vote. But sometimes if you can't beat them, you can join them. And I have an idea about this tax plan that maybe if we can't beat them, maybe there's a few areas where we can at least join them. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this quick break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs and to my people. Today's episode, taxes, black women and black thought. We've been talking about taxes. We're going to get into black women. They saved the United States of America, or at least specifically Alabama, earlier this week. I mean, they save us oftentimes from a lot of things. I know there's been some black women who've saved me plenty of times and loved me oftentimes more than I was even capable of loving myself at the time. So shout out to black women. And we'll have a special underdog and black woman joining us in the second hour. And that's Asha Davis. You all know her, the award-winning advertiser, writer, and stand-up comic, and part of the team here at the Gregory Neesmith Show. Also, Black Thought. I know. Isn't the show always some Black Thought going on because the host is black? But I'm talking about Black Thought the rapper, representing my city of brotherly love. He did a freestyle earlier this week, and it has me rethinking my top 10 MCs of all time. I'll share my top 10 MCs of all time. You share yours. Maybe help me redo my list. Black Thought probably should be in my top 10. We'll talk about it later. But we're talking about taxes right now. And this idea of, is this one of those cases where if we can't beat them, can we at least join them? Can we fake it till we make it? Or are we just going to be all disgusted and disturbed by it all? Especially since, I don't know about you, but most of the things that are in that tax bill don't help me out. But I have an idea. Because oftentimes we get a choice. Something happens and we can see it as a problem. See it as an opportunity. I can see it as a problem or see it as an opportunity. For example, I could be at work. And for whatever reason, maybe my job has been going through a lot of changes and my position has become in a place where it's not very well defined. I can see that as a problem. Or maybe there's an opportunity for me to help now define what I want my role and my position and my job to really be. So there was a problem and I could see the situation as being problematic, or I can see it as an opportunity for me to have things be different. I had a situation when I was younger. Wanted to go find my biological parents. And I remember thinking, I wonder if my parents who raised me are going to feel some type of way. Feel like I'm not grateful. Maybe I feel like there's something missing. So that was the situation. I could choose problem or opportunity. The problem could be like, hey, problem, they're going to see me differently. I could see it as a problem of I'm not that good with my current family. How am I going to be good with another family? Or I could see it as an opportunity of what can I learn about myself as I figure out this journey of both expressing my love for my parents that raised me and going after this curiosity that I have about who gave birth to me. Right? So there's situations, you can look at them as problem, look at them as opportunity. I say, if possible, look at things as an opportunity. And that's all good and fine. And you know, that's when I'm at my best self. Life is going well and I'm being my most conscious, aware self. But I'm human, so that doesn't happen all the time. So sometimes things come up and you got to look at what are some other solutions? How can I go from underdog to contender to champ in some other creative ways? And so I talked about earlier the idea if you can't beat them, join them. If you're mad that LeBron created a super team of the NBA stars, players, well then you can't beat them, join them. Create your own super team. I know a lot of minorities, me included, aren't happy with there being so much money in politics and all these super PACs. I saw it's been reported that there's some folks in the black community that have a lot of wealth. They're going to form their own super PAC. So until the laws change about campaign financing, if you can't beat them, join them. But join them with your own purpose and your own talent and your own commitment. Gentrification is another thing, right? Happening all around us. I live here in Harlem, happening in Harlem. It's like a big avalanche and tidal wave of gentrification. But with gentrification comes empowerment zones, different tax breaks, different incentives. Well, if you can't beat them, join them. How do we, as underdogs or folks, if you are a resident of a certain community, how do you take advantage of some of the things that are happening as the gentrification is occurring so that you can't, if you can't beat them, you join them and then join them in a way that still lives up to your spirit and your purpose. And so as I'm going through the tax code, something jumped out at me. It said the corporate tax rate is going from 35% to 21%. 21%? That's lower than some people are paying on the income taxes. And so this is one of the great things about, you know, you are the company you keep, or make sure you have mentors around you or people who are doing or living where you want to end up living. They're doing stuff that you want to do one day, and like surround yourself with some folks that you can learn from. And I was talking to one of my friends, another fellow underdog, and she asked what at the time felt like almost a sarcastic question, almost a throwaway question, but upon further review, it was one of the most profound questions I've heard in the past week. And so as we're talking about the tax bill and about this whole big corporate tax break, doing stuff for the wealthy, she goes, well, why don't people just start a corporation then? Mind blown. And after an initial bit of laughter and like, ha ha, that's funny. Good sarcasm there. Ha ha, whatever. Then we looked at each other and we were like, well, why can't we start a corporation? What does it take to start a corporation? Because if you can't beat them, join them. If the tax rate is going to be 21%, then maybe underdogs, each of us should start a corporation. And then we got even more curious, because sometimes one of the traits of folks who go from underdog to contender is curiosity, right? Creativity. And so then we started asking around. We started going on Google, trying to figure out, like, what does it take to start a C Corp? Then my friend reached out to a friend of hers, an accountant, and asked a question. What does it take to start a corporation? Because if you can't beat them, join them. And then what we found out is, it's not so much that it's not possible. It's just that it takes some time, some money, and some resources. And so what we found out is, to start a corporation, it requires getting a board together, doing some public filings, etc., things like that. And to be fair, it can be costly and it can be time consuming. But in the spirit of these rules really are set up sometimes for the wealthy and the corporations, guess what? All those things I just talked about that are costly and time consuming, once you have a corporation, you can actually write them off in your taxes. And then this new tax bill has stipulations where companies can make corporate expenditures, from things to buy and plant equipment to put in paintings on your wall, things that can all be written off. And so what started off as just a sarcastic response of, why don't we just start a corporation, was in the spirit of what underdogs do. Sometimes, yeah, you're in a situation and you want to be as zen as you can. And instead of seeing a problem, you see an opportunity. And that's great. And sometimes we can do that. But sometimes the answer is, if you can't beat them, join them. And so in this case, for all you entrepreneurs out there, and there's a lot of you because we live in a gig economy, entrepreneurship economy, LLC economy, side hustle economy. Pass through rates, individual income getting taxed. Well, guess what? Maybe if the Republicans want to reward corporations, well, then guess what? Maybe we should each start one. And give some loans to each other because it's time consuming and costly. And then guess what? Once we got one set up, then we'll write off the cost. And then my salary, health care, other expenditures, maybe I can have them at a tax rate that the wealthy in these corporations get to enjoy going forward. Because I'll be damned if I'm going to be apathetic and stay off the court. Maybe I'm going to just beat them by joining them. Let me know your thoughts. Because you can go to CNN. You can go to MSNBC. For some of the curious conservatives that listen to the show, you can go to Fox News and you can get the news. But here we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and culture. So, yeah, we talked about the tax bill. But what are we going to do about it? I mean, in November 2018, of course, we can vote some Democrats and some independents in and maybe they can reverse it. But in the meantime, if you can't beat them, maybe you should join them. And full disclosure, I am not an accountant. I don't even play one on the radio. And obviously, each of us should consult a financial advisor, an accountant. There are a lot of free services out there, like the Small Business Administration, score.org, places where we as entrepreneurs and underdogs can get free and or low cost access to information and knowledge to help us move forward. And in this case, help us to, if we can't beat them, join them, because I want that 21% tax rate, too. Let me know your thoughts. You feeling this tax bill? Are you feeling the idea of going from underdog to contender by starting your own corporation? I believe we have a call on the line. Name where you're calling from. Do we have our caller on the line? Name where you're calling from. I think we might have lost our caller. Please call back in and I'll get you back on the air. So underdogs, if you follow along on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith. Leave a comment. Let me know. You feeling the tax bill or not? Are you feeling starting your own corporation? Oh, and by the way, I'm not done. Because me and my friend, we went into like super creative mode. Then we said we could start a consulting firm that actually helps entrepreneurs and small business owners create corporations. And get a fee for that. And then also some of that money we raised, we can use those proceeds to help pay for other people to get their LLCs or their small businesses or their side hustles become corporations. Because if you can't beat them, we're going to join them. With that, we're going to take a quick break. More of today's show, The Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and culture. Today's episode, taxes, black women, and black thought. But first, I believe we have a caller. Name and where you're calling from.
This is Will from Uptown.
Hey, Will, talk to me.
Oh, you know, you hit the nail right on the head with the 21% rate. LLC is probably going to cost you $200 to sign up.
Yeah, and you know, in the past, it hasn't been worth it to go through some of these extra steps. But now, shoot, you're going from 35 to 21. For those of us who are in the side hustle game or in the gig economy or in the entrepreneurship thing, there is now some value in taking that extra step to look into what it means.
Well, it's real simple. Well, it's real simple because when you really think about it, you're going to be everything that you do can be deductible. Part of your rent will be deductible, but your expenses are going away, going work will be deductible. And so if everybody did it, which I think is a brilliant idea that you have right here, which is simplistic and really surgical, which is go ahead with your 21%. You can get a limit liability corporation that limits your liability and even what you do so that you're covered that way and you wouldn't even need a board and all those things. So I'm thinking that, you know, you just gave away $1 million of advice right here, man. Keep it up.
Hey, that's what we do here because, and I will. And so I appreciate you calling in, Will. Thank you. So Will brings up a... And hold on one sec. I think we have one more call in line. Thank you, Will, for calling in. And for those who want to join the conversation, you can at area code 212-650-6903. Name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Greg, it's Stanley from Let Your Voice Be Heard.
Stan, the man, talk to me.
Hey, man, just real quick, I just want to let you guys know that that's really good advice, but we should always be, like, you know, knowledgeable on, like, what that means. So one of the big reasons that this tax cut is a problem is because it's going to cut the amount of income that the U.S. government gets. So... yeah, you do that, you're going to save a lot of money. But the things that the government pays for that we don't pay attention to, like our roads, our schools, our hospitals, our other services, they are going to receive some severe cuts. And because of those cuts, it's going to cost you a lot more money on the back end anyway. So just be careful about that.
No, hey, man, I appreciate that. And I think it's oftentimes things happen, and it's like, what can I do now? And then what's the end game? And for me, some of the stuff you're talking about is related to the end game is, November of next year is a big deal because maybe we can have different politicians in place mm-hmm. to not have a bill like this be here.
Yep.
And then in the short term, if there's things folks can do to at least have a win come out of it or make the best out of like lemons, turn them into lemonade. I also want to share with folks to get them creative thinking of what I can do in the meantime that may also be able to help them.
That sounds good. I might owe you a check now after that advice. I'm about to go to LLC.com right now.
Well, look into LLCs, look into S-Corps, look into C-Corps. Like I said, I'm not a financial advisor or an accountant. I don't even play one on the radio, but this is something that is worth people who have side hustles or businesses or entrepreneurs to look into. Because
yep.
if you can't beat them, join them.
Yep. Thanks for letting me talk, man. Talk to you later.
Hey, man, appreciate you.
No problem.
Bye now.
Bye.
And that was Stanley from, for those who listen to WHER 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, you know that you just heard Stanley voice along with Alyssa and Selena and Jackie on the show Let Your Voice Be Heard, which is on every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on WHCR. They talk politics, society, and culture. Please check them out. They also have a podcast by the same name on all the places you love to listen to podcasts. We're going to play the station ID, and then I believe we might have a caller on the line, and we'll get to after this break.
Mic check.
Keep it locked on WHCR 90.3 FM.
Okay.
New York.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. And what I mean by personal is you can get the news from CNN. You can get the news from the New York Times. If you lean a little bit to the right, you can get the news from Fox News. Even if you lean all the way to the right, you can get it from Breitbart. But what we do here is we get personal about it. What does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? How can we go from underdog to contender to champ? And while we're at it, maybe we even figure out how to become legends. And with that, the tax plan is here. And so cool, we talked about all the issues with it. Shout out to Stanley, who just called in talking about there's some real major issues with it, right? Lower taxes for folks, government brings in less revenue, then what are they going to do next? Maybe cut some of their spending, and where do you think these Republicans might go? Things like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. And at the same time, they'll probably keep spending more money when it comes to defense. And I'm not, and I don't want it to be either or. I think we should spend on all those things. But sometimes it's a setup. And so Stanley just wanted folks to know that there's some implications to this longer term, not just short term. But with that, there's the end game, and then there's what we can do in the meantime. And so I'm saying to folks, as underdogs, instead of checking out, being apathetic, getting lethargic about it, which is a natural reaction when things aren't in your favor or my favor or our favor, I'm saying let's get creative about it. If we can't beat them, join them. If you don't like LeBron forming super teams, well, guess what? Form your own. If you don't like all the money and politics and these super PACs, well, I like that some of these wealthy black folks or minorities will form their own super PACs. And if you don't like the corporations get a 21% tax rate down from 35%, well, guess what? Let's just start our own. I believe we have a caller on the line. Name where you're calling from. Do we have a caller on the line? Name where you're calling from. All right, looks like we lost those callers. But please call back in and I'll get you on the line. Now, with that said, this whole discussion about if you can't beat them, join them came up because I was talking to one of my good friends. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that story in 1 second. I believe we have a call on the line. Name where you're calling from.
My name is Will. I'm calling back just to say something about what Stanley said.
Oh, yep. Go ahead. Talk to me.
So Stanley's right, and he may well be. You know, you would have thought that the politicians who are coming up with a tax plan would have dealt with that. And maybe the long-range plan is for everybody to get like them and then see how they like it. Because once you start making those, become a corporation, you can deduct all kinds of things, as I said before, and pay yourself a smaller salary.
Yep, go ahead. Well, keep going.
And even have that salary taxed at a lower rate. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So they should have thought about all that, because I believe that would be what everybody should do, form a corporation and learn how to treat themselves like a CEO. We might be better off. But I'll hang up and listen.
All right, now, I appreciate you. Hey, if you can't beat them sometimes, you get to join them. Name and where you calling from.
Hello, it's Asha calling in from Brooklyn, New York.
Asha Davis, the one and only, the award-winning advertising executive, also writer and stand-up comic, and has been part of the journey of the Gregory Neesmith Show since we kicked it off back in November of last year.
Since 2016, going strong.
Yes, indeed. So what's going on in your world? You heard some of what we're talking about, taxes, mm-hmm. And I wanted to give the underdogs a little idea about how they can be creative about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been kind of the conversation. But I also want to talk while we have you on the phone, which is, why aren't you in the studio? We got to let folks know what's going on so they don't get worried about Asha Davis and about the show and about what you're up to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm working on, you know, my comedy and writing and stand up and do you want to talk about it?
Yes, we will. And I just want to finish up one thing about the taxes before we talk about it.
Yeah.
So I just want folks to know that this whole idea of if you can't beat them, join them. If the tax rate is going down from corporations, but not that much for individuals, then maybe we should all just start our own corporations. And what I wanted folks to know is that conversation happened because of me surrounding myself with other underdogs that are forward thinking or do things that I don't do or doing things that I aspire to do. And so I just want to encourage folks out there to go out and be mindful of the company you keep and go out there and get some friends that'll help you keep moving forward. And for those who are like, they're working on that, they can always go pay for workshops and coaching. But I know that not everybody's got money for workshops and coaching. So things that are free, Google, YouTube, listening to this show. As Will said, we just gave out some free advice on the show. So there's ways that you can also get some momentum and get to learn about things going on in the world by the company you keep or the things you read or the things you listen to. So I just want to make sure I get that out for the underdogs out there. Cool. All right. So now you're on the phone and today's episode is taxes, which we just talked about, black women, which you are, and black law. And so black women saved the day in Alabama.
Yes.
And I'll get to that a little bit later on. But also, it reminds me of the Million Man March. And people will
That's
be like,
an interesting comparison.
Right? It sounds a little random, but let me explain. If you remember the Million Man March, all the men from around the country showing up with pride, trying to make the world a better place, being role models for black men especially, and for the black community. And I'll never forget Chris Rock talked about that even in our finest hour, the Millionaire March, some of our great intellectuals and activists on the stage, Marion Barry was center stage. So even in our finest hour, we had a crackhead on center stage. And she said, that's not my words. That's Chris Rock's words. But he was merely saying that all this great stuff going on, and there was somebody on stage who was known to have some potential drug issues, the former mayor, rest in peace, Marion Barry, of D.C.
That's a very clever correlation there.
Yeah, so now I'm going to correlate that to this week.
Yeah.
In black women's, one of their finest hours, and black women have had many a fine hour, so let me not just say that Alabama is like the finest hour, because it's not, but it's one of the fine hours that black women bring to this country, is that they turned out and voted in big numbers to really bring home Doug Jones beating out Roy Moore to go to the U.S. Senate from Alabama, a state that is very red and hasn't voted a Democrat out of the Senate in like 20 something years.
97% of black women. Yep. I mean, you had women busing people to the polls.
Yo, showing up and showing out. And like I said earlier, shout out to all the black women who have showed up and showed out for me over my life, too. Sometimes loving me more than I even love myself. So shout out to all the black women in my life, too. Now, with that, just like the Million Man March, even in our finest hour, we have Marion Barry center stage. Black women, in your finest hour this week, saving the country, saving Alabama, maybe. Y'all had Omarosa center stage.
I would like to call her Amanosa.
That's her new name?
Amanosa.
So that's not your man's in them?
That's Nosa.
That's Nosa?
Nosa.
Nosa from Amarosa.
Nosa.
Now, what people may not know, and I'm sure they know by now, but let me just give them the setup here, is that Amarosa, or as you, what's her new name?
Amanosa.
Amanosa Manigault left the White House last week. And I'll put left in air quotes for now. And do you know what position she left in the White House?
Liaison to the blacks? What was it?
You know what's so cool about the way you just described that? Is that I know you follow Omarosa and you follow politics and culture, and you're not even specifically sure what it was, and neither am I, and neither are most Americans. Because we don't really know for sure what she did. I had to Google. And remember, we've covered Omarosa more. I still had to go Google exactly what her role was. She was assistant to the president and director of communications for the Office of Public Liaison. You got it right.
Oh, so I got a couple of the words right.
You got a couple of the words right. Now, get this. Guess how much money she made doing something that you got some words right and that most of us still don't know what a public liaison does. But guess how much money we were paying her?
$230,000.
Close, $179,000.
I mean, okay.
But with that said,
probably
though.
Probably a significant pay cut for her.
Probably is, but she might have made the number you just said, because $179,000 is the max you can give to someone who is on staff in the White House. So they probably would have paid her more if they could have, but that was the max. So she got a max salary. doing something that we're not sure what she was doing.
Right.
And so the word is that John Kelly wasn't getting along with her, and that she was a constant problem, and that she was just, it was time for her to go. Now, do you want to hear what Omarosa said about all this?
I would love to.
Now, what's her new name, though?
Omarosa.
Let's hear from Omarosa. I believe this was on ABC, and this is her telling her side of the story of how things went down.
I resigned, and I didn't do that in the residence as being reported. John Kelly and I sat down in the Situation Room, which is a very secure, very quiet room in the White House, and we had a very candid conversation. But when I have a chance to tell my story, Michael, quite a story to tell, as the only African-American woman in this White House, as a senior staff and assistant to the president, I have seen things that have made me uncomfortable, that have upset me, that have affected me deeply and emotionally, that has affected my community and my people. And when I can tell my story, it is a profound story.
I got a question. When she said my people, who was she talking about?
I was just about to ask, so where are her people now? Where was she?
I think maybe she was talking about maybe reality TV show people.
Oh.
I hope. I don't know. Was she talking about you or me?
I'm Omarosa. No, sir.
Was she talking about the other black women like in Alabama that got Doug Jones elected? Who was she talking about when she said her people?
Right?
Well, we will see. The reaction has been not too hospitable for Omarosa.
I noticed how you left out the part where essentially Omarosa, after the Doug Jones vote came in, a conversation was had with Omarosa by John Kelly, as she says. Omarosa did not take it too nicely, so then she marches her way up in a scene to the residence, sets off alarms. And that's when she had to be dragged off and escorted off of the premises.
Yeah, you're right. I did hear some of those reports that it wasn't exactly a very peaceful end to the Omarosa days in the White House. And supposedly she's denying it, though.
I got a message from one of our Facebook Live viewers, Daryl, who said he wonders if they let her clean out her desk.
But hold on, I was waiting for the punchline, because is there anything in the desk? Because we don't know what she was doing.
I said no, they USPS that to her, not priority.
Craziness. Now, I do want to at least end the Omarosa piece on this. There's been a lot of talk about, can she get back in the good graces with the black community? And I want to just say, I'm going to go on record now and say, I haven't totally given up on Omarosa.
Wow.
Hear me out, though. If her tell-all book or tell-all story can get Donald Trump impeached, she will get an invitation to the cookout next summer.
Wow. That is a bold statement. You're hearing it here live, folks.
If, I'm saying
if. Gregory Neesmith is going to invite Omarosa to the cookout. Just throw my invitation out if that happens.
No, I said if her tell-all can get Donald Trump impeached, she can get an invite.
Impeach, impale, Georgia Peach. Whatever, I don't even want, if I see her, I will not be able, it's too much. I cannot, there's nothing she could do to be invited to my cookout. She's done too much, you know?
Well, before.
She's gone too far big, as they say in Jamaica.
Well, before we move off of Omarosa and on to what you are up to, I think your sentiments seem to be aligned with those of this woman right here.
ABC's Robin Roberts couldn't resist.
She said she has a story to tell, and I'm sure she'll be selling that story.
We'll see.
Well, yeah, she will. I'm Felicia.
And that is Robin Roberts saying goodbye to Omarosa. Which seem to be the sentiments of Asha Davis and a lot of folks when it comes to Omarosa.
He said, bye, Felicia.
Yes, which one side note, for a lot of underdogs listening to the show, they know the term and where it comes from, but there were like a lot of think pieces and articles helping explain to the masses like what Bye Felicia even is or meant. So shout out to all the Americans who now have a bit more culture to them and actually know what Bye Felicia means.
Shout out to 2017. I also heard Omarosa after that Robin Roberts comment. Omarosa came back and said she felt like it was basically black on black attacks, you know, and she's like, we're supposed to be sticking together, not attacking each other. She tried to flip it around.
Yeah, good luck with that, Omarosa.
Good luck with that.
I'll see you at the cookout only if you got receipts on Donald Trump and he gets impeached. Until then, good luck. All right, so now on to or back to black women that we love to celebrate. Those in Alabama and those on the phone line right now, Asha Davis. So first, I just want to let folks know that as the year has gone on, we get into season two, things are evolving for the show, things are evolving for my career, things are evolving for your career, and that I wanted folks to know that while you may not be in the studio as often or with the show, that there's still lots of love between you, I, and the Gregory Neesmith Show. But also, I want folks to know some of the stuff that you'll be up to as we go into 2018 and what you'll be making happen out there in the world.
Yes. I am pursuing, my comedy writing, my passion, and, you know, dedicating my sort of creative outlet and mind to pursuing that goal. Also starting my own business from a marketing standpoint, so that should be fun, and just continuing to progress in my sort of daily career, I would say.
I love it, and I can't wait to see how it all unfolds, and you're already doing it because you are performing. Literally, can I say that out loud, or you don't want people to be able to start searching for you and looking for you on the comedy?
No, side? You can say that. You can say that.
All right, so underdogs, part of the grind is you're going to see Asha on Saturday Night Live or on her own show and in movies and stuff like that, and you're going to be like, oh, look, it just happened at a snap of a finger. But what you won't know is, but you will because we're about to tell you, is that like most things, it takes work and practice and effort. And so Asha is currently working the stand-up circuit in New York City, literally weeknights, long day of work, then go doing sets all around New York City to continue to work on her craft and be able to bring the comedy and the intellect and talent to the masses. Is that about right?
Oh, that's so sweet.
But it's true.
It is.
Now, will you at least share with them, because I thought this was awesome, you have a certain manifesto or like vibe or mindset about your comedy and about your performances? Would you share that, or it's too early? They can't get a peek.
I mean, you're really putting me on the spot here, but sure. Yeah. So essentially, it's really about, you know, there's in the world, everybody sort of has this need to belong to something, and. You know, for a lot of people in the world, you're not 100% one thing or one that. And so there's, you know, people like me who are just a bunch of different things all sort of put together, but you're not sort of fully jumping into to sort of one bucket. And I think just all of those different types of people that sort of fall into those different things, that's kind of who I make comedy for, essentially.
I love
it. I'm a person of many facets, a half Jamaican, half Pakistani, Canadian living in New York City that loves hip hop and works in corporate America and does stand up comedy. Like, what is that?
it's what your manifesto is.
Exactly.
And I think the cool thing is out there for a lot of underdogs listening, which is whether you call it your manifesto, whether you call it your higher purpose, whether you call it your calling, your vision, there's a bunch of different names for it. And sure, there's some nuances to each of them, and I won't get into all that right now. But the spirit of them all is this idea of like why you do what you do and who's the tribe or people that will likely gravitate to you. And when you know that, it helps you go out and do what you do. And in this case, it's going to help you go out and do what you do and touch a lot of people's lives by making them laugh, making them cry, making them smile. And it's good stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
And so with that, we are about to come up on a break. We got to talk a little Omarosa, but more importantly, I wanted to talk about Asha Davis. Any thoughts that you want to share about the show or for the underdogs out there that you want them to know about this whole experience and then also where you're going next?
I mean, I would just like to, you know, give a humongous shout out to Mr. Gregory Neesmith, to you, sir, because I think that you have been a role model, a mentor to me as an underdog through this whole process and seeing how, you know, you talk a lot about, you know, doing something is actually relatively easy. Consistently doing something is the harder part. And so, you know, being a part of this journey consistently and putting out a show and a podcast and every single week and sort of everything that we've been able to accomplish and I've been able to sort of witness firsthand has been truly awesome and inspirational.
No, hey, I appreciate you. And underdogs out there, while Asha may not be in the studio with us every week going forward, her handprints are on this show and how we've gotten up to this point. And she will still be a contributor and still stop through or call in from time to time. And once she starts releasing some of her clips from her stand-up, they will be played on this show too, which I can't wait for her to start sending some of those to me so I can play them. And so more Asha Davis, and I love the fact that she's an underdog being a contender and being a champ out there and grateful for her. And even though she may not be here all the time, she's one of my good friends. So I'm glad that I still get to see Asha and talk to her off air all the time. So Asha, as always, lots of love for you and appreciate you. And shout out to you. No shout out to Omarosa, and shout out to all the other black women in Alabama who brought that election home for us.
Yes. I'm a yes, sir.
All right, now I'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
All right, now, bye.
Bye.
That was Asha Davis. Shout out to the award-winning advertising exec, writer, and stand-up comic, and part of the Gregory Neesmith Show team that got us to where we are. And the cool thing is, you know, we evolve over time. We get to grow. And I'm grateful that whether it was Kirsten Magwood, who was a part of this show, who now has her own show called Best of the Best, or whether it's Asha Davis, who's now out there spreading her talents to the rest of the world to enjoy. It's what we do here, right? We rediscover how special we are in the world, and then we get to support each other on the journey of going from where we are to where we want to go. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to finish the conversation on these taxes. A couple more additional thoughts on black women, especially about what happened in Alabama. And then we're going to end the show with Black Thought. I know what you're thinking. Doesn't the show always have some Black Thought? Because the host is Gregory Neesmith. He's black. I got it. I get it. But I'm talking about Black Thought, the rapper from my hometown, the Roots, Philadelphia. Shout out to the 215, Philly in the building. I now call Harlem home, but always from the city of brotherly love. With that, more of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. And your phone calls too, and your online comments too. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and even some of the aspiring entrepreneurs that I hear oftentimes tune into the show. Appreciate all of you. You're in the right place. If you'd like to get personal about the news and the culture, that's what we do here. Because you can listen to CNN if you want to just get the news. You can go read the New York Times, if you want to just get the news. But my commitment here is that we get personal about it. Whether it's me sharing about stuff going on in my personal life or experiences, whether it's the 16-year career I had in corporate America, running businesses and teams both here in the U.S. and around the world for a Fortune 100 company at the time, whether it's getting personal about things going on in the news and the culture about family and being in foster care for a few years and then being adopted, and then the dynamics of a few years ago actually searching and finding my biological parents and family. Whether it's getting personal about the news and the culture, about things going on in the entrepreneurship journey, what it's been like for me starting the Underdog Stuff business consulting and leadership company, what I learn when I go into companies as a management and leadership coach and instructor, working alongside other startups and helping them figure out how to take their business and their culture to the next level. We're sharing about the news and the culture and getting personal about sports, because I love sports. My experience is playing basketball in the public league in Philadelphia. Shout out to Parkway High School. And some of the things we learn about ourselves and the culture through sports. That's what you get here. We're going to get personal about Underdog Stuff. And hopefully, in the spirit of fighting for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world, helping folks go from stuck to unstuck to growth. And hopefully we'll support each other along the journey from underdog to contender to champ. And then when I'm really feeling it, how about we try to be legendary? That's what we do here. Season 2, The Gregory Neesmith Show. And so earlier, we talked about taxes. And you can Google all the details. But some of them, broad strokes, big picture, not much for the average American. And the tax plan gives a lot to those who make a lot of money and to corporations. So that's the news. The personal side of it is, the underdog side of it is, if you can't beat them, join them. I may not be wealthy, but I do know it's possible to figure out how to start a corporation. Get that 21% tax benefit, write off expenditures related to my business and the living my life. There's LLCs, there's S Corps. I believe the type of corporation that will get the full extent of this new tax plan, the full extent of that benefit of the 21% tax rate, is something called a C Corp. Like I said, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an accountant. I don't even play one on the radio, but I do my research. And I do know there's something there. And so I would advise you to go to the Small Business Administration, go to score.org, both organizations that help folks at low to no cost figure this thing out. And I'm not selling a utopic, flowery, all is right with the world scenario. There's cost involved. It's time consuming. There's things you'll probably have to do that you don't know how to do right in this moment. But it might be worth it. And also those costs can be written off once you're a corporation. Fancy that. And then like I said earlier, we are the company we keep. Go out and get yourself some new friends that are being unconventional, that are being creative. That, like Asha said earlier, talking about she has a manifesto for how she's going to go out and deliver her talent and her performances to her audiences. Surround yourself with people who have a vision or a certain purpose. If those things sound too lofty, too complicated, too off-putting, then I always say hang with people who know and are willing to follow their curiosity. That worked for me. This whole idea of starting a corporation came out of the conversation I was having with one of my close underdog friends. And I've heard the saying before, you get what you pay for. Scared money don't make no money. You got to make money. You got to spend money to make money. Small Business Administration, score.org. There's places you can go and get information and get support that don't cost. But if you do have the money, pay for those seminars and those workshops. But if you don't, go online and Google something. Watch a YouTube video. Download a podcast. Listen to this show. Because it's free for you to turn on WATR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Or if you miss any of the live show, you can go to iTunes, to Stitcher, to Podomatic. Search the Gregory Neesmith Show and you can download the podcast for free. We're also now syndicated on the LiveLeadPlay.com podcast network. Shout out to Live Lead Play. Appreciate you. NBA players got mad at LeBron for starting a super team in Miami. If they couldn't beat him, they joined him. And what I mean by that, they joined the idea so they created their own super teams. A lot of money in politics. They're super PACs. Yet the minority vote seems to be left out of some of these discussions. So what did some affluent African-Americans do? Start their own super PAC. Can't beat them, join them. Republicans passed a tax plan that helps corporations and the rich. 35% tax rate down to 21% for corporations. Can't beat them, join them. I'm just going to start a corporation then. You should start one. And you should start one. And you should start one. And that was us talking about taxes in the first hour. Shout out to Will for calling in. Shout out to Stan the Man, who is one of the voices on Let Your Voice Be Heard, which is on WATR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sundays. Please check them out. Then we talked about black women. Shout out to all the black women in my life. I'm going to start with my mom. The most important woman in my life. Love you. Black women made things happen in Alabama. And it got me to thinking about OJ. I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay. Anybody who follows Jay-Z and got the 444 album, you know that that was a reference to a Jay-Z song, The Story of OJ. But seriously though, the OJ. What does OJ have to do with black women in Alabama? I'll never forget OJ trial in the mid-90s, I believe. By all accounts and speculation, most people believe that OJ was guilty of murder. But the glove didn't fit, so he had to acquit, and he was not found guilty of murder. And I remember there seemed to be this strange spirit when the verdict came out. Where it was almost like a divided America. A lot of minorities, especially black folks, seem to have a certain amount of a smirk on our faces or a certain amount of happiness, and not truly happiness like joy, but almost like, as I remember Chris Rock saying in one of his stand-up, it was almost like, hey, like we won something. And he goes on the joke and say, hey, when's my OJ prize coming in the mail? Like, everybody jumping up and down and like, did we really win anything? But some folks said maybe we won because for years there have been minorities who have had bad experiences with the justice system and potentially been wrongly accused and jailed, or minorities have been criminalized, especially when I think about drugs, right? There's plenty of statistics that say, and to use just two racial groups, black people and white people consume used drugs, especially illegal drugs, at basically about the same rate. But yet black folks are arrested and put in jail for them at a significantly higher rate, even though most studies say we use about the same, but yet the justice system is not fair in terms of how blacks are treated versus whites when it comes to something like drugs. And so I think some people were happy about the OJ verdict because it was like, man, finally, sometimes justice doesn't happen the way it's supposed to. But this time, the person that got off that probably shouldn't was a minority, was a black man. And for many years, and even still up to today, people feel like there's not much equality in the justice system. But OJ brings me to a point about Alabama, which is this whole idea of what's scaling. I know a lot of underdogs out there are part of the gig economy, the side hustle, entrepreneurs. From my 16 years of business experience, one of the things I used to be very mindful of when launching something or starting something or something happens is it scalable? What's scale? And scale is basically this idea of if something works on a smaller scale, can it be spread? Can it be replicated on a larger scale? So, for example, think about something like Uber. At some point, Uber didn't exist. It starts in a city. They realize that people are willing to pay for basically on-demand car service in urban areas. They'll give you their credit card. It'll all be automated. And it worked in this one urban area. Hey, we can spread it. We can replicate it because there's a bunch of other urban areas in the country. And so we can scale it. Then you have examples where you potentially can't scale. So let's say you're a juice maker and maybe you're making juice in your neighborhood and you're selling it and you're using some special ingredient from, I don't know, from South America that you got some relatives who live there and it's some fruit that they grow that is only grown in that one area, one village in the whole world, and it makes your juice taste great. But it's a limited supply, it's hard to get. And so while people in your neighborhood may like your special juice, it's going to be hard to spread it, hard to scale it, because it's hard to replicate making millions and millions of more of those drinks because your drink is so special with special ingredients that it might be hard to scale it. And so why am I talking about OJ and juice? I didn't plan to do that. No pun intended. OJ orange juice, OJ Simpson. Oh, that was, I didn't even plan that. But why am I talking about juice and Uber and OJ and Alabama? Because the OJ verdict, to Chris Rock's satire, black folks didn't really win anything, even though some folks felt like they did, because it's hard to scale what happened to OJ, because most people aren't ex-football players, very famous and wealthy. And so it's hard to scale and replicate that type of outcome for other people. And so Alabama happened. Shout out to all the black women who came out and voted in strong, strong numbers. Some of the exit polls had Doug Jones winning the under 30 vote by 20 percentage points, winning independents by 8 points. But his biggest driver was winning the black vote and black women specifically by like plus 95%. Still a bit disturbing that Roy Moore in exit polls won white women by 29% and won voters who decided in December by 12%. But that's for another show. But back to scaling. So I say all that to say, for Republicans who might be feeling sad that they lost an election in a state that they normally don't lose, I would say don't get too sad. And for Democrats who were like, man, look at this. We win in red states now. I would tell you, don't get too happy. Because I'm not quite sure what happened in Alabama can be scaled. I'm not quite sure that in other red states in the midterm elections next year that the Republicans will run such a terrible candidate. I don't know if we'll be able to scale that every Democrat running against a Republican in other states, especially red ones, in November of 2018 is going to be running against alleged child molesters. Those who've been outside of the law when it comes to their previous positions as a politician, and run against someone who would say some of the best days of America were during the times of slavery. I just don't think that that's going to be the type of candidate that the Republicans trot out in every campaign and election next year during the midterms. So underdogs, next time something happens, whether it's in your personal life, business life, politics, just be mindful of, you know, learn from it. But be mindful and careful about whether or not it can be replicated. Can it be scaled? But what I will say, though, for those who lean to the left and listen to the show, I do think what can be scaled is focusing on mobilization. So get the vote out, carpools, busing people, like some of those. I saw a story where a black woman drove 10 hours that day, driving people to and from the polls. So I think mobilization and get out the vote stuff can work. Getting folks registered, that can be replicated and scaled. I think not taking the black vote for granted and giving them a reason to come out. That's if you lean to the right. I mean, lean to the left. Giving them a reason to come out to vote, that can be scaled. I'm skeptical whether the politicians in the Democratic Party will do that, but it's possible. But with that, that's just my thoughts on scaling. Just wanted to bring that up. And scaling is something happened, something worked. What about it can be spread? What about it can be replicated to grow it? I'm a little skeptical that Alabama can be scaled, but I'm still happy with the victory nonetheless. Woo, show's flying by. It's almost to the close. I said we'd talk about taxes today. We did. Said we'd talk about black women. We did. Shout out to the black women in Alabama. Shout out to the black women that are part of this show. And that was Asha Davis who called in. And we talked about Amanosa. And I said we talk about black thought. So let's talk about it. I, earlier this year, released my top 10 list of all-time rappers, in my opinion. Let me know yours. You can email me at you can email me at underdogstuff@gregorynesmith.com, or I'm on social media at underdogstuff on Instagram. I'm on Twitter at Gregory Neesmith, and there's a Facebook page for the show. You can search the Gregory Neesmith Show. Leave your comments there of your top 10 rappers of all time. But these are my 10. Rakim, Jay-Z, Biggie, KRS-One, Ice Cube, Nas, Tupac, Mos Def, Three Stacks, that's Andre 3000, and Lauryn Hill. That's my top 10 in order. From Rakim all the way down to number 10, Lauryn Hill. What's your top 10? Recently this week, though, Black Thought of the Roots, and shout out to Philadelphia, did a 10-minute freestyle on Hot 97. And it was pretty good. And I remember when I released my top 10 list earlier this summer, I got called out by some of my friends who know I'm from Philly, who said, "Where's Black Thought? How you not going to have Black Thought on you when you're top 10? So I'm asking you out there, underdogs, my top 10, Rakim, Jay, Biggie, KRS-One, Ice Cube, Nas, Tupac, Mos Def, 3 Stacks, L Hill. Did I make a mistake? Should Black Thought be in my top 10? Is he in your top 10? If so, who should I kick out? This is like Hip Hop Survivor. Who has to go if Black Thought's supposed to be in the top 10? Let me know. And in all seriousness, too, sometimes I have a thought, you have a thought, and it's okay if you get new information for you to have a new thought. And I think that's what's happening with me. I got some new information. I always knew Black Thought. He's probably in my top 15, not my top 10. But I think this freestyle recently just reminded me that maybe it's put him over the top and he should be in my top 10. But now I got to figure out Lauryn Hill, 3 Stacks, Mos Def, Tupac, Nas, Ice Cube, KRS-One, Biggie, Jay, Rakim. Who? Gotta go. Let me know. With that, we've reached the end of the show. And I'll leave you with my new rules from today's show. One is, the next time a problem comes up, maybe be creative about it. One possible path forward, instead of seeing it as a problem, see it as an opportunity. Because if you can't beat them, sometimes you get to join them. And we talked about that with taxes. You should, I should, we should at least look into it. Maybe we should start a C-corporation. Take advantage of the new 21% tax break and some of the other goodies that come along with being a corporation. If you can't beat them, maybe we get to join them. Also, once something works, scale it. Whether that's in your personal life or your business life, look for something working and can it be replicated? Can it be spread? I'm not sure if we can spread and replicate and scale what happened in Alabama, but I'm sure there's things going on in your life that are working that you can take to other parts of your life, or things are working in your business that you can scale and make even larger. And lastly, if you get new information, it's okay to change your point of view. I didn't have Black Thought in my top 10. The freestyle he just did this week reminded me that maybe I got it wrong. So I'm going to put him in my top 10. I just got to figure out who I'm going to kick out. You got to let me know. So as we come to the end, thank you to all the underdogs and my people who tuned in today. To all the callers, shout out to Will and to Stanley. And to the folks who followed along online, shout out to Daryl Tillman from the 215. And Danny, who I believe lives in Alabama, actually. And to all the other folks who tuned in on the Facebook Live, we had some technical difficulties with the sound, but we'll get that all fixed by next week. Shout out to Asha Davis. Appreciate her. And looking forward to all the great things she's going to create in 2018. Also, shout out to Megan, one of the producers who does some stuff behind the scenes that gets me right and ready to come bring it every week. And to Kayla, who does editing of the podcast. And for those who miss any of the live show, every Monday and then throughout the rest of the week, I release podcast episodes for those who can't catch the live show. And you can check out the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Also, now syndicated on the Live Lead Play Network too. And shout out to all of you for making it such a successful podcast. We're in the top 40 in the society and culture category out of thousands of podcasts on Podomatic, which is a big deal. Appreciate you. And as always, I'm going to leave you my favorite quote. But before I do that, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm going to leave you with some of that Black Thought freestyle after I say my favorite quote. And then, of course, we'll be back at it again next week, Sunday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. and podcast throughout the week. With that, underdogs, I leave you with my favorite quote. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.
I'm sorry for your loss. It's a body dead in the car, and it's probably one of yours. The writing all across the window in the walls. Whether it was true or false, we shouldn't have got involved. Remember, we walked past the teacher, take the chalk and laugh. We wrote punishments. I will not talk in class. Now it's pistols punishing people for talking fast. And all these innocent bystanders is hauling ass. I hate to say I told y'all, but I told y'all things fall apart when it's in a 2 week to hold y'all. I'm just collecting what you owe to my old John. You about to get swooped down on and stole on. Fools swear they wise. Wise men know they foolish. But we was headed for the web even before computers. I never thought you'd give me a reason to do this. Cain and Abel, Jesus and Judas, Caesar and Brutus, I see intruders. Avert your eyes. I told you keep out of the hood. Circumcised. How could you sleep? I thought you always was the first to ride. Hey yo, you heard the line. Everybody plays the fool. Well, I be that exception to the rule. The principal to hand deliver lessons to the school. I was making major moves. My dollar deja vu. My mission when my ambition was brandishing the tool to be an icon. Wearing slippers made of python. Getting mine quicker cause I'm slick as a pipeline. Transporting the oil. Tribulation and toil. Hit the operation. But I'm back in the soil. Got my crown tilted. My gown quilted. Silk with cashmere. Burn the room down in a minute. Built it last year. Newsflash. I dodged a bullet that killed the cashier. My homie told me to come with him to the mass. Shit. Them brothers said, don't go from written bars filled with rage to primetime television in your gilded cage. Then forget it's people in the world still enslaved. I barbed wire my wrist and let it fill a page. Gunfire and flare, sirens glare. I'm in an iron chair with people who care. Don't get the lion's share. When I don't give a f, then I ain't fair. I'm on a higher tier with people getting money like the finest said. Catch the hell.